It was only a few episodes ago that the heathens made a promise to release episodes on time. But even heroes fail, and the heathens are not heroes. Only their listeners are truly divine. So please forgive them and tell your friends that the Exodus season of Reedon Heathens has arrived.
Howdy everybody, welcome back to Reedon Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing great, Adam. I'm excited for this episode, for Exodus 2. I'm feeling,
Oh, sorry. Now, my audio's being weird, so okay. Go ahead. Sounded like you'd stopped talking, and
yeah,
my headache went away for a second, and then the audio caught back up, and
that hurts.
Now
me.
I hear your voice again.
I consider us very good friends, and that hurts me real bad. No,
you're the only friend I have. This is as close to friendship as I get.
I know, We have like wonderful friends who live out here, but none of them. We can't get any of them to listen to this podcast. So really, it's just you and me talking to each other.
Yeah, I mean, none of my Pokemon from Pokemon Go want to listen to this podcast with me.
No, I'm feeling, I just want to, editor's note, I'm feeling a little bad about the dead baby joke I made on the last show.
Daniel, you can't just leave commands for our producer on episodes after episodes that have already been released potentially by the...
Oh, no, I'm not telling her to cut it out because... I don't have very many jokes, and I need all my jokes to land. So, no, that one's staying in there. I just want people to know that I technically feel terrible about it, but I do stand by how hilarious it was.
Oh, that's good. So you just want to make an apology, which is something I thought, Daniel, you and I, we should really have like an apology segment at the end of every few episodes. And if you want to send us some feedback about how we've handled things badly, you can reach us hostedpod@gmail.com. And if we ever get those emails, we'll do an episode addressing our terrible mistakes.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that was not a mistake, Adam.
And that's I know where you're going, Daniel. Wait, I interrupt. Sorry. Our Google Hangouts is being a little funky right now. Maybe that's because our next guest, the same guest, our wonderful guest Haley is all the way out in the real city, New York City. How you doing, Haley?
Doing good. Just sitting here with my Snorlax pancake, ready to. That's what I named it. That was the best Pokemon I ever caught on Pokemon Go.
That's a good name for a Snorlax pancake.
Mm-hmm. She's a beaut. I really like. I talk about Pokemon Go like only on this podcast. I really don't play it that much. It's just on this podcast. It looks like I'm obsessed.
You heard it here, folks. If you want to hear Haley talking about Pokemon Go, this is the exclusive location for that content.
The Bible and
now,
Pokemon.
Haley, I have a question about pancakes.
Yeah.
Sort
pancake.
Of. Number one, have you had apple pancakes before? Number two, living in the Big Apple. I have this question for all you New York City folks. Why on earth are there hungry people on the streets when they could just take a slice out of that Big Apple, you know?
Maisie, I don't need you to be taking a shit during this. Well, hold on, everyone. Maisie's my roommate's cat, and it's really loud when it uses the litter box, which is... So I'm sorry if you're picking up. I'm just going to keep talking like you aren't.
I really hope we are picking that up the microphone.
I'm just so embarrassed. I think you might be a little scratches. God damn it, Maisie. Jesus. Anyway, to answer about the Big Apple, it's all conspiracy, and we should be able to feed our homeless.
Are there just rich people with big bulldozers underneath New York City excavating apples?
Yes.
Yeah, they're
or from one big apple.
Yeah, and we won't feed it to the poor and needy. You heard it here, folks.
Where do you think all applesauce comes from?
Yeah.
They ain't crushing apples. They're churning up that big apple meat.
Yeah. Come from somewhere in Manhattan. All the apples of the world.
They're all in the subway.
Well, I was trying to figure out a way to segue apples.
They sure do have a bunch
Bible.
Of Catholics over there in the Big Apple, right?
I guess, yes, and Jewish people. We have a bunch of people. Just, yeah. It's a boiling pot. Is that say, Maisie, you're done.
Sometimes living out here in Los Angeles, I get stuck in some traffic every now and again, and uh-huh. I get a little scared because I'm like, what would happen if the traffic just stopped and there was a huge
you'd be stuck
problem? Then I remember people in New York where it's like double the people. It's like you take your normal street here in Los Angeles and you double it. But the people just they go up into the air.
You double it and you scrunch it down. Like, don't get me wrong, New York's huge, but like, it's also not wide. It's just, it's not wide. It's just very tall, and
I've got a huge brain, but it's not very wide.
I hate everyone. I hate you guys. I hate the cat scratching still in the litter box. She just likes to rearrange it.
Something real quick before we jump into this chapter's kind of long, but last episode we didn't really jump into your show, Haley. Do you want to give a quick explanation of, you know, what it's about and what you're doing? I've heard it's blowing up.
Well, I mean, by blowing up, it's not. But thank you. It's doing well. It's still in its infancy. The show's called Working in the Wings, and it's all about interviewing people who work backstage, off stage, and do those little parts you don't see in theater. So it's everyone but the actors. So we talk
about... If there's ever been a medium that needed less fucking actors, it is podcasting.
Yeah. Right.
I really think you're on to something by having, you know, actual people with actual experiences versus people who talk loudly.
It's very true. But I think our most recent episode, we talked to the set designer of Moulin Rouge, the new Broadway musical. And he's done a bunch of stuff. And so, again, we just talked to a bunch of people. We're trying to get more interviews set up. It's going pretty well. It's going pretty well. People are starting to add me on Instagram, which is buck wild.
Ooh.
So, yeah. That's weird. I'm like, should I be?
Well, you can tell from our Instagram account that has Daniel, I, and 10 other people following
and it. And me. We don't have very many followers either. But again, it's one of those things where it's, you know, someone writes, got to listen to it. And
that's exciting,
up.
Though, because as a, you know, I spent years as a backstage theater person. And I would love to hear those stories because, like, you rarely do hear those stories because actors generally, I mean, look, listen, even if trying their best, your average stagehand is it's hard for them to spin an interesting tale sometimes. So, like, the actors just tend to be more people want to listen to them. But just hearing those, it would be fun to, like, hear the ins and outs of theater talk and also just hear the unheard people talk for a little bit.
Yeah, and it's. And we're trying to gear it more to, like, an educational standpoint. So where I am cussing here very freely, I do not cuss as much on the other one. We're trying to get, like, schools to be like, hey, you know, this is what it's like. Because I think especially we went to a very small school in Arkansas. I don't think we really knew what else was out there but acting and, like, directing and stuff. And that's not anyone's fault. It's just, like, the information's not out there.
Certainly. I remember when I left our school, I feel like I had to spend the next 2 years learning kind of, like, what the real world was like out there, you know?
Yep. We talk about that, too, kind of. It's a fun time. We have fun. It's me and my roommate, Mallory, who is doing Ain't Too Proud right now. She's a swing there. And she's there right now, bless her, working. Working on the Broadway.
Well, speaking of Ain't Too Proud, I ain't too proud that we forgot something really important on our last episode, guys.
We didn't
give a rating to the Bible chapter.
The very first chapter of Exodus. The part everybody's waiting for.
So maybe I'll cut this out of this podcast right now and insert it at the end of the last one. But let's go ahead and give a review of Exodus chapter 1.
I give it three Dunkin' babies. I still think Prince of Egypt has about 5 Duncan babies, but you know, we wouldn't have it without the 3. So,
You know, I think that's a great score to give it. I'm also going to give it 3 babies in the river on account of, you know, it's a little slow. It's a slow for the first chapter. It doesn't come out of the gates hot, but it does end with some child murder. So
I am glad, though, they started off being like, oh, by the way, Joseph died. So does family. They're gone now. Don't worry about them. Their story's over. Let's drown some children.
And this is... We find out last chapter, or actually, we find out at the beginning of this chapter. Well, I can't mix this up. Daniel, what's your rating? Because this might go in the middle of the last episode.
Yeah, let me get to it. I, you know what? As Nick Weiger says, we're in the hand-holding club. I'm going to go ahead and go with 3 birthing stools as well. I think this is a very solid... It's a very solid... Very solid chapter and very exciting way to kick off the book.
Solid chapter, solid stool. Always want those solid stools.
Always want it. Well, good. So
now ending this, which may or may not go into the last episode.
Incredible.
Depending on how good of a job that I do.
Really, really, that the producers really regretting the decisions that they have made.
Well, let's get into Exodus 2.
Let's do
it. Chapter 2 of Exodus. Things are going to heat up, I think, y'all. All right. Exodus 2 out of the World English Bible. A man of the house of Levi went and took a daughter of Levi as his wife. The woman conceived and bore a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. She put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. His sister stood far off to see what would be done to him. Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe at the river. Her maidens walked along by the riverside. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servants to get it. She opened it and saw the child, and behold, the baby cried. She had compassion for him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." So, something that stands out to me immediately is this is a man of the house of Levi who took a daughter of Levi. So there's some, you know, family intermarriage going on here to some degree.
A little intertwined.
But it could be they're pretty spread out. But Levi is one of the brothers of, is one of the sons of Isaac that murdered all the people in that town.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Moses is a descendant of the murderers.
Yeah.
Why is that so
who
strong
were cursed
blood?
By... Yeah, these two guys, there was some bad things done to their sister, so they circumcised all the men in this other town. They were like, hey, you can marry all our sisters, but you need to be circumcised. They circumcised all of them, and then 3 days later, they went in and killed everyone. They were like, gotcha!
I mean, that's actually probably the most heinous, like, diabolical thing I've ever heard. And it's in the Bible, and I kind of don't know what to do about it. Like,
well, Brady, that was, our good friend Brady was on that episode, Haley.
Oh, I bet he had.
Levi and his brother were given blessings by Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob was kind of like, well, you guys are murderers, so y'all are going to have a terrible, you know, y'all are going to have a terrible time.
Yeah, so it's seems very like interesting that this baby, who we can assume is Moses, came from the boys whose blessings were seemingly taken away.
Yeah.
Survival of the fittest,
well,
baby.
And also, I feel like this is part of the story that gets embellished a lot. I know it does in The Prince of Egypt of, like, we're going to put the baby in the basket, and the basket is going to float down the river.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I mean,
that's
it doesn't
not what
just
happens.
No, it doesn't just float down the river. There's a whole fucking, like, montage of Hans Zimmer just getting it with his music. And you're like, this basket ain't going to survive. And then behold.
But in the Bible, it's actually just, well, we're going to plop it down right here.
Yeah, literally, like, it's in the reeds. Here you go. Someone will. Well, she probably was going to come back for him. And then she's like,
well,
fuck,
here's...
the Pharaoh's wife got him. Shit.
Well, I think this was a plan, because here in verse 7, it says, then his sister, and I think this is Moses' sister, the child in the basket.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, should I go call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. The young woman went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So, it works out real well. They go and they put the baby in the reeds, and the sister waits like behind the bushes. And then when Pharaoh's daughter comes down, the princess of Egypt comes down. This sister is just like, hey, you want me to go find some lady to take care of this baby for you? And then returns the baby to its mother immediately.
That's so smart. That's so smart. And I'm mad that wasn't in The Prince of Egypt.
It kind of cuts the drama of the scenario.
It cuts like at least two songs. So.
Well, this is a common theme that we saw in the last book, where the men make like random kind of very silly, strange choices, and then the women are always like very smart and do smart, like clever things to like keep everybody.
They never
okay.
get named. They never tell us the names of the women. They're just like, and a sister, and I don't know, some lady. And they're the ones who are making things turn.
I know. Good Lord.
I know. We had three chapters of Joseph fucking with his brothers over and over again. And then we have one line about this.
God. Joseph just like, he took me out. I was like, Joseph, you need to just calm it down. You know, his servant was just like, can you not? Can I not be a part of this, please? Oh, that shit killed me.
That weepy trickster. So I'm gonna pick up with verse, I guess in the middle of verse 9. Yeah. And I will give you your wages. The woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and it became her son. She named him Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. In those days when Moses had grown up, he went out to his brothers and saw their burdens. He saw an Egyptian striking a Hebrew, one of his brothers. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
Damn.
Oh, shit!
So I believe in The Prince of Egypt, it's showcased as him, like, pushing a man off of a scaffolding.
Yeah.
And everyone sees it.
And it's like,
you
an
know,
accident.
And he has to run away.
Yeah, he's like, stop it. And it's Val Kilmer. And the guy falls, and you don't see him die. And then he runs off into the desert. And this one, he's just like, I'm playing games, bitch. And yeah. Just kills him. Like,
and there's no details.
Nah. That's the one thing
I really
want to
know
about
what he killed him with.
A knife.
Haley says a knife. Daniel, you got any ideas?
Well, as the keeper of the quest Bible, I'll take an answer that comes from a later chapter. We'll probably go over it later. But Moses, he continues to be a badass throughout this book, obviously. But
okay,
he was,
Daniel thinks murdering people makes you a badass.
Oh, well, makes you a badass Jesus. out here in these streets.
Out here in the Pride Lands.
Out here in the suburbs I just moved to. No, they do explain one point where Moses was being a badass because he was raised in a noble family as a noble child, I guess. So in theory, he would have got training. Kind of like the Jon Snow story, you know, how he was, the reason why he was so badass was because he was
came
trained
out of a
to be
freezing
a swordsman.
Pond.
But, and so in theory, he would have like swords and knives and know how to kill people with them.
So knife okay. is right.
I was just going to say it was probably force choke.
But how are we going to hit 20
Moses,
minutes on this podcast?
Moses, oh my God. Moses is just Kylo Ren. It's just, everyone else is like Egyptian except for Moses, who's just Adam Driver. That's incredible. That's how it is now.
Oh, they got to remake Moses with Adam Driver.
But, so, like, everything else is correctly cast except for that, and it's just Adam Driver as Kylo Ren.
Wait, what? He's got his helmet on. Yeah. He drags this dude into the sand. Very Star Wars.
Everything else is correct except that it's Kylo Ren as Moses. Y'all, I smell an Oscar.
I mean, you do have to give the guy some credit. Like, he's grown up probably sheltered from this stuff, you know, being the, well, maybe not. I feel like maybe he doesn't know that his society is built on slave labor. Because it seems like the moment he sees a slave being treated poorly, he just murders someone immediately.
Like Moses got a good heart. Like, I'm actually kind of glad he wasn't a little pussyfooter like he was in the movie. He was immediately, like, looked around and went, no one's going to help. Guess he's going to die.
Yeah, there was, like, the cartoon violin when he turned his head one way and turned the head the other.
And everyone's, like, avoiding eye contact and, like, whipping other slaves to avoid the other slave being whipped.
So, like, picking up with verse 13, he went out the second day. And behold, two men of the Hebrews were fighting with each other. He said to him, who did the wrong? Why do you strike your fellow? He said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you plan to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Moses was afraid and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and lived in the land of Midian. He sat down by a well. That's really also, weird, like, addiction. Like, he settled in this land, and also he sat down by a well.
Honest, my favorite is, why he do wrong? That's my favorite line. Favorite, why he do wrong? Also, why are the Hebrews snitches?
Yeah.
They're all Samuel L. Jackson from, oh God, what's that movie? Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Like the worst type of slave where the slave is like, likes the white people. This is the these fucking Hebrews.
Yeah.
Just like, you killed one of our masters. It's like, sir, yeah.
Oh, and thank you, by the way. Or you're welcome, by the way.
Now he's like, oh, surely this must be known. Like, don't. Yeah, but you're a prince, my dude.
I do feel like here's the scenario. The scenario is there was a dead slave master, or like a dead taskmaster, and Moses just disappeared and hid the body. So they're probably getting some heat for there being a missing taskmaster. You know, like the Egyptians are like, who killed this dude? And they're like, you'll never believe it. A prince?
Their whips are just in their hands like, a likely story.
I have a bit of, mine's just boring. Just a bit of backstory real quick so we all know what's going on. He runs to Midian. In a small thing in the research, Midian was built by the sons of Midianites, which is a direct descendant of Abraham. So he flees to a neutral zone, essentially. Yeah, his cousins.
His cousins.
Yeah. They sing the best song.
Okay.
They do. Through Heaven's Eyes. It's a slap.
So Moses he's sitting by this well. And he hears this music.
Shit.
He hears this beautiful song rising out of the desert. Here it comes, verse 16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. They came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, I don't know how to say that. I'm going for it. It's like going to be Reuel. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you have returned so early today? They said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hands of the shepherds, and moreover, he drew water for us and watered the flock. He said to his daughters, where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Moses was content to dwell with the man. He gave Moses, this is weird, Moses was content to dwell with the man. He, meaning the man, gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. She bore a son, and he named him Gershom. For he said, I have lived as a foreigner in a foreign land. In the course of those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed because of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the children of Israel, and God was concerned about them.
So
the end.
So God, like, was just taking a nap, and went, "Who's down there crying?" Oh yeah, I should check on them. For a full generation,
for
went,
like a
oh,
full
shit,
generation, he
rough.
Took a nap.
Yeah. Well, look. Well, listen, I'm kind of on God's side because last he left off, before he took his nap, he left the Israelites everything, and Joseph just helped the Egyptians survive a famine. So why in the world would they just go in and enslave his people just a short 400 years later?
Yeah, God was like, yeah, I set this up real nicely. And then he's like, damn, hot damn, this is a fire truck right here. Fire truck, what does that mean?
This is like on.
I was like, why did I say? You get this it. This is a fire truck.
This is a fire
big
truck.
Big and red and in the way.
No, God. Hey, God, that's not a fire truck. That's
oh,
an enslaved
that's really
group
not what
people.
I wanted.
This is like in Sims 4 whenever you can hit fast forward to kind of get through a bunch of stuff at once. Like, God hit fast forward for just a little bit too long and accidentally, like, people were enslaved.
He was like, oh, no. Oh, man.
Well, the moral, it seems like the moral of the story is, if you're having some troubles in your life, you better start complaining to the Lord.
Yeah. If you cry loud enough, might help you it's going to breach through his little window. Also, that as long as you run away from murder, you can get married. As long as you run far enough away from murder, you can always bury your past.
So what is the deal with the seven daughters come up to the well
yeah,
the shepherds
that
run
happens
them
in
off?
The movie. They're like either messing with them or like you can't. This is our well, and you can't get stuff from here. And Moses is like, well, that's some poppycock. It's weird how Moses is like a murderer, but he's also chivalrous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Joe from You.
Well, you know, he just force pushed.
Yeah, it does seem
seven.
Like one of the daughters was forced to marry him. But that happens from time to time in this time of the, you know, in
that
the Bible.
Happens. That's just a thing that happens a lot in history.
Yeah, we watched it. This is a little off topic, but last night I watched this 58-minute documentary about a woman in the 1800s who accidentally married her own son because she was sent off to work in a textile mill to provide some money so her family wasn't destitute. And she had a baby with, you know, a floor manager and then sold the child and came back and never told anyone about it. And then she wound up marrying her own son later and was shunned forever. So, you know, terrible things continued to happen.
That's the,
like,
that's really
like
the moral
all the way
of
up through
is that
just
God
a couple
likes to
hundred
take naps
years ago.
And terrible things happen. And we just need to wake them up with our tears. Honestly,
what would you rate this chapter,
like,
Haley?
This is, I believe, like five murdered Egyptians. It's really like there are so much happens where, like, because I mean, in the first one, it was just letting us know people died. And this one, it's like, we found a baby, women conned the baby to take care of it, he became a king or a prince, he was like, oh, I don't like how things are done, I killed a man, I gotta go, I married someone, and God woke up. A lot happened.
Covered a lot of ground.
It covered a lot of ground. It covered like 50 minutes of the movie. Or like the first like 30 minutes into like 45 minutes is like that was it. That was one chapter. I'm very impressed.
Well, I think I'm gonna give this. Four. Is there something else good in here? It's kind of the dead Egyptian is really a good rating scale. I'm gonna give this. I guess I'm just gonna give this four daughters. But there were seven daughters, so that'd be a 4 out of 7. I'm just going to give this 4 stars. This is a 4-star chapter. Our hero does some murdering, and that's pretty cool. And
he does live by that.
Lives
by
a well.
That's honestly what bumped it up to 5
also
for me.
Also pretty cool.
And he sat by a well.
I mean, just good choice. You know what?
What about you, Daniel?
You know what? This one is good. I feel like I will tell people that if you want to get the most out of this chapter and all the first few chapters of Exodus, you need to watch The Prince of Egypt for sure. So, you know what? I'm going to be simple on this one. But also a little hard. I'm going to give it a 3.75 pails of water.
All right. Harsh critic over here. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know what? I think
murders and whales just aren't your thing.
I, you know what? I think I'm just going to be hard on the Bible every time a lady gets sold off to marriage.
That's fair.
And also, Haley, after we had the chapter where the men were circumcised and
that's some high bar for that five stars. Yeah, that's some red wedding shit. So I understand. I think I was just so happy that Through Heaven's Eyes actually made it into the Bible. Not really, but it did. So I'm like, thank you.
If you're unfamiliar with the Prince of Egypt, Through
it's
Heaven's
a slap,
Eyes is one hell of a
say.
Track. It's a slap. All right, everybody. We'll catch you next time for another exciting chapter of Exodus on we plugged your podcast a little bit at the beginning, Haley. But Haley, would you like to guest on another episode of Read Me?
Sure.
Not two more people in this world who would understand and agree with you more if you said no.
No, I want to get a little bit further with Moses. I want to get past that well. Honestly.
Let's just say shit gets fiery in this next episode.
Oh, shit.
Later.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.